Welcome to the Reach a Peak podcast experience. This podcast is for athletes of all levels who want to level up their nutrition to level up their game. Join me as I explore the world of nutrition, health, and performance. Each week, I dive into a new topic to help expand your knowledge, separate truth from myth, and change your perspective so you can start winning the right way and reach your peak potential. I'm your host, Alexa, the sports dietitian nutrition coach. Let's go. Okay, today we're going to be talking about intermittent fasting. Okay, that's what we're exploring in today's episode, intermittent fasting, because the truth is that intermittent fasting is one of the most popular diet regimens, nutrition tools, strategies, whatever you want to call it, in the world today. Okay, so athletes of all levels wonder, you know, is fasting the answer to my performance goals? Is it the answer potentially to my physique goals? You know, is it something that I should be doing? That's kind of what a lot of athletes have asked me. In particular, I've found that CrossFitters have tended to ask me this question as well. Okay, more so than potentially other athletes, but still, they ask me just the same. So is intermittent fasting a solid dietary approach to harness? Like, is it something that you should consider? Well, just like with any dietary change, you always want to, first and foremost, understand that seeing a professional to understand your situation and give you recommendations based on that, aka seeing a dietitian, is always going to be key. But just to guide you for today, if you're kind of doing it alone to, at the moment, I'm going to give you the ins and outs. Okay, I'm going to give you the pros and cons of intermittent fasting so that you can make a more informed decision. Okay, because like the point I was just trying to make before I kind of wandered off, is with any dietary approach, any dietary change, you really want to think about, is it right for you? What is the safety behind it? What are the pros? What are the cons? Is it something that you would be able to manage? You always want to ask yourself more or less these kind of questions, because otherwise you're going to be starting to do something that's not suitable for you. And any dietary change, no matter how big or small, if it's not suitable for you, it's not going to last, or it's not going to be effective, or it's going to be to your detriment, or all of those up above. So it's things you got to consider like that. Okay, it's about making that informed decision to make sure it is a right change for you. Okay, because the truth is that fasting, and specifically like intermittent fasting, it's not a universal solution. So full disclosure, it's not a universal solution for everyone. And you need to understand the pros and cons to decide if it is a good diet for you as an athlete or as you as an active individual, okay? Whichever one you identify as. Okay, and that is what we're going to learn today, the truth about the suitability of intermittent fasting for the athletic people such as yourself. Now, the popularity of intermittent fasting, it can really be attributed to the hype that was built up over the years from celebrity endorsement, as well as the gurus out there, you know, the quote-unquote health gurus that are proposing that there's benefits to fasting based on some research that says that it's a superior way to eat, okay? That the act of nutritional fasting is a superior way to kind of approach your food game, your nutrition, and the premise is that its effect on the body makes it a superior fat loss and health solution because of the way that the fasting impacts the body's physiology. That's kind of the general premise behind a lot of the gurus that promote intermittent fasting. And that's kind of the stuff we want to consider today. Now, the purpose of today's podcast episode is not to delve deep into the science behind intermittent fasting. Okay, that's a topic for a different day. That's not what we're talking about today. I mean, some of the points we're going to touch upon obviously are grounded in science and might touch upon it a bit, but we're not going to delve deep into what does the research say, what da 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 da. Through answering the pros and cons, I'm going to give you the lowdown because I understand the research, I understand the evidence behind it. So what the pros and cons I let you know about, keep in mind that those are based on the evidence. Okay, so just to kind of clear that up, just to make it nice and easy for you. Okay, because it's not a magic solution. Okay, it's not a magic solution, but it could be a tool in your toolbox. So it's saying that you should consider potentially, but you need to understand it better. And that's what today's episode is about. So without further ado, here are the pros and cons of intermittent fasting. Okay, let's get into it. So first we'll get obviously the pros, and then we'll get into the cons, and then we'll wrap it up at the end. So the first pro I want to talk about is that it can help reduce mindless snacking. Okay, so now you're probably thinking, okay, how does it do that? Well, this is the thing when it's contextual. If you're someone that mindlessly snacks at certain periods of time, let's say it's in the evening when you're sitting down watching Netflix, it's 9 o'clock, you're sitting with your partner or by yourself, doesn't really matter, with your dog, and you just start snacking. Or let's say you're someone that in the morning, you just kind of graze while you're cooking breakfast, or whatever it may be. Usually the former is the one that happens for a lot of people where intermittent fasting can help. It's the one where later in the evening, you're kind of just over snacking just for the sake of snacking because it's there, mindless snacking. Well, something like intermittent fasting creates a framework whereby you only eat during certain periods of time. And as a result of that, it can help certain individuals kind of frame their nutrition in a different way and go, okay, nah, I understand I want this right now, but I've told myself I can't eat after 8 o'clock. And then therefore, oh, okay, well, I usually snack after 8 o'clock, so now I'm not going to snack. Now, obviously, if someone then starts snacking earlier, it's a whole different story. But for a decent amount of people that I've seen do this diet, they've been able to some capacity, reduce things like mindless snacking because they give themselves those parameters, that framework, those rules, so to speak, because there's always going to have to be some rules with nutrition. And those rules can help them reduce that kind of mindless snacking in certain areas. Okay, so that's number one. That's one pro. Now, the second one is that it can increase a sense of fullness on a certain set of calories. So all in all, what that means is, let's just say you're eating 3,000 calories. Well, if you're eating 3,000 calories and you start eating at 7 o'clock in the morning and you finish eating at 10 o'clock at night, versus if you eat 3,000 calories and you start at 12 o'clock and you finish at 8, more or less for most people, and I've dabbled in intermittent fasting for myself here and there, depending on the circumstance, and to trial it, obviously. And it does increase fullness. Like as long as you can manage to get to the point where you eat at a later time, eating the same amount of calories, a set amount of calories within a more finite window of opportunity, as we say, is going to increase the potential fullness of that meal, the potential fullness of that overall diet. The calories are going to feel like they fill you up more. That's what we're getting at here. So for certain individuals, for example, doing a cut who don't rely too much on recovery and now, because let's say they're just doing general gym work or something like that, and they don't want, they're not doing like marathons or something where they have to recover their muscle glycogen very quickly and all that sort of stuff, which can be impacted by fasting. Well, for them, they could potentially see the benefits because if they're trying to cut calories and they keep it at a lower calorie amount, well, that lower calorie amount, that deficit, which is always naturally going to be a bit kind of hunger inducing, it's going to feel like it's filling them up more. Not for everyone. And it has to be done in the right way, which is always something to go and preface this as saying is that it needs to be done in the right way, but it can help in that way. That's one of the bigger kind of pros of intermittent fasting when used correctly as a tool in your toolbox. Okay. Now, the third one is that it's reasonably customizable in execution. So it's one of those dietary approaches. And really, it's not a diet. It's more of a tool, to be honest. It's more of a way of eating in terms of everything else. It's not really a diet per se. But intermittent fasting is actually quite the customizable nutrition regimen due to the various ways it can be interpreted and executed. Okay, this can obviously be a pro and a con, obviously, due to the fact that people can push the limits with this, and that's never a good thing with nutrition. However, when you look at it from the pro side, due to the fact that it enables you to customize it to yourself as the individual, this can potentially promote sustainability and individualization, which are key pillars of my particular approach to nutrition that I found work for my clients very successfully. Okay, so keep that in mind. It's quite customizable because, okay, you want to do a 16-8 regimen for intermittent fasting. Well, you can start eating at 11, you can start eating at 12, you can start eating at 1 and then finish at whatever the 8-hour window finishes at. Like, it's customizable to that degree. But to some degree, obviously, it's still restrictive. Keep that in mind. I'm not saying this is like the most flexible approach there is, okay? Keep that in mind. The next pro is that it's easy to understand and easy to implement. Now, by easy here, what I'm not saying is about whether it's something that suits you and you're kind of like just doing it easy and it kind of just feels natural. I'm not talking about that specifically. That's something for you to decide. I meant easy to understand and easy to execute because it's simply I eat between this window of opportunity. I don't eat during this window of opportunity. Very easy to understand, very easy to implement. And when it comes to dietary approaches, sometimes easy can be a good thing because there's too much overwhelm when it comes to nutrition. And if there's any way to reduce that overwhelm, obviously that's going to be a positive thing. Okay, so that's just to keep in mind. It is easy to implement. And it's saying that, you simply decide when you want to eat, you decide on your fasting windows, make sure it's not too restrictive, and click, you implement. Okay, the fact that there is no steep learning curve makes it an easy dietary strategy to implement without the worry of kind of potentially steering off the path, which a lot of people can kind of fear or have done so. And that could be an attractive aspect for certain athletes, maybe such as yourself, who are busy and overwhelmed. Okay, so that's just something to consider. Now, there was another pro that I wanted to share, but it's one of those ones that's hard to explain, and it's very much more easily it's more easily seen as a con. So I'm not going to share that one now. And when I get to the one where it's a con, I'm going to explain it and explain how potentially could be a positive in a certain situation. But I didn't want to really say it as a positive because honestly, the more I think about it, it's really a tricky thing. And it's saying that if you're navigating by yourself, it can be very, very tricky. So it's saying that I didn't want it to share because I didn't want to lead you down the wrong path. So, okay, so now let's get into the cons. Okay, the first con is that it can be used as an excuse to suppress natural hunger cues, particularly on very low calorie diets. Now, this is the one where I was kind of thinking, can it be seen as a con? And in some ways it can, and I'll explain why, but let's first explain the con. Okay, now this kind of thought process around it can be used to suppress your natural hunger cues, this is primarily on very low calorie and very restrictive diets, okay, that are done in conjunction with a bad mindset, okay, the wrong mindset when it comes to health and nutrition. However, this is a major concern with athletes doing intermittent fasting nonetheless, and something that I want you to consider as an athlete, okay? And as I mentioned earlier, it can be seen as a positive thing, but it's more commonly seen as a negative thing among athletes. And that's because this regimen, like intermittent fasting, it can be used for the sole purpose of suppressing natural hunger, okay? For the purpose of losing weight without the consideration of the bigger picture. Because remember, weight loss is, you know, it can be okay, but you got to do it in the right way. Otherwise, you'll lead yourself down the wrong path. And this is why I recommend that if you can work with a sports dietitian, you know, reach out to me, or if you don't want it to be me, you know, reach out to someone else, just get coaching you need to get the fasting protocol that you need. That's going to be the best thing for you. If that is saying you are considering intermittent fasting. Because there really is a fine line that can easily be breached. So you got to think about the nuances with this, okay? Behind why potentially you want to do fasting. But yeah, it's never a good thing when you're on, especially on low calorie diets, but just in general, it's never a good thing when you start trying to use nutrition regimens to suppress your hunger by giving yourself strict rules such as intermittent fasting. If you do it in the right way with the right mindset, it can be a positive because when you look at it, you want to make yourself feel more full on a deficit, but there's a fine line between that being used to use it for that purpose. And there's a fine line between slipping over that and then becoming a way for you to just kind of deregulate your hunger cues, which can obviously have impacts later on with your food relationship. So it's just food for thought. It's a bit of a tricky one to explain over a podcast episode. So if you are a bit confused, I kind of understand. Reach out to me, we'll have a chat about it if this is something you feel you're worried about. But yeah, it's one of those things that you don't want to be using dietary regimens to strictly suppress your natural hunger cues, especially when you're eating very low calories. And that's what a lot of people do. They cut their calories to 1,200. They do intermittent fasting because they understand that it keeps them more fuller eating in a smaller window. And then they disregard their hunger cues at other times, which can impact recovery and health. So keep that in mind. The next con is over-restriction. And it kind of leads on from the other one. Okay, so it's similar. So I'm not going to talk too much about it. But essentially, a lot of times with intermittent fasting, because people just go, yeah, I'm going to cut off this time, I'm going to cut off that time, they end up cutting off like big chunks of their diet, and that can cause over-restriction, and it can cause a very low calorie intake as well. And that's why it's something you got to be watching out for, okay? Because let's be honest, the most common reason intermittent fasting is used for people is because of fat loss. That's what people are using it for. That's maybe why you're considering it. Maybe you're trying to lose fat, and that's why you went, hey, Alexa's got an episode on the pros and cons of intermittent fasting. Well, I've heard about intermittent fasting. I want to know more about it. And you click the episode to listen because people want to lose fat using intermittent fasting. Therefore, care needs to be taken that you're not using it as an intentional or unintentional trigger for crash and or fad dieting. So over-restriction, bad. Okay? Doing it the right way, good. Okay, so keep that in mind. Don't use intermittent fasting as a way to over-restrict. Now, the next con is that it's not suitable for a lot of people. Okay, sustainability is one of the key ingredients when it comes to dietary success in this world. Okay, I will not be swayed from believing this. I will promote it to you. I will promote it to my Instagram. I will promote it to my YouTube. I will promote it to the people on the streets if they ask me. I will promote it to my friends and family. I will promote it to my clients. Therefore, the fact that fasting regimens do not suit most people's natural lifestyle and are not typically sustainable, and keep in mind, I've seen this time and time again over my years, this is a big con or a key con to consider, and it's worth acknowledging. And that is why athletes who consider fasting need to really sit down and ask themselves, will I be able to actually do this sustainably? Okay, I'll repeat that again. You got to sit down with yourself, think about intermittent fasting in your head, and ask yourself, will I be able to actually do this? food for thought. Now, the next one is very important for athletic individuals. Whether you consider yourself an athlete or non-athlete, whether you consider yourself elite or amateur, it doesn't matter. You always want to be focusing on recovery, nutrition, and perhaps you're also trying to focus on muscle growth. And if this is you, well, intermittent fasting is not the best way. Okay, this is a major con for this because this could actually make and break your decision if to do intermittent fasting. Because the fact of the matter is, fasting can be useful and a solid tool for nutrition for the right person, for the right reason, in the right way. However, even when done correctly, the fact of the matter is that intermittent fasting is still not an optimized diet for athletes because of the fact that it does impede recovery and nutrition. And as an athlete, you have unique and specific considerations. Keep this in mind. Your recovery and nutrition looks very different to the general population. And potentially you need to build lean muscle at times, or you're desiring to do so at the moment. And fasting is technically not ideal for either. Even though you can still achieve them through intermittent fasting, you can still build muscle in intermittent fasting, you still recover to some degree with intermittent fasting, it's not the most optimized way. Okay, so it's just some food for thought before you think about wielding this dietary tool. And now we're on to the last one, the last con of intermittent fasting. And this one is a big one. And it kind of is an important one to consider if you are doing intermittent fasting for the sake of fat loss. And that is the con that, generally speaking, when you're looking at the world of intermittent fasting, there is a deep, deep lack of understanding that calories still dictate what you achieve. Okay? This is important. This consideration is actually one of the bigger pet peeves of mine when it comes to fasting. And there seems to be this incorrect belief that fasting in and of itself is a fat loss tool, is a health tool, is a tool that can be used to get your results without worrying about anything else. You just worry about intermittent fasting and the body will do the rest. Well, this is wrong. This is the incorrect belief. Okay? This is the incorrect belief that fasting, you do not have to worry about calorie balance. Okay? It's simply untrue. Intermittent fasting does not cause fat loss. The fact that fasting may so happen to reduce one's calorie intake by restricting time to eat, that is what causes fat loss. It's a key distinction. One is often disregarded by many. So yes, fat loss can be achieved through fasting, but it's due to the reduction in intake, and you can still gain weight very much so on intermittent fasting if you eat enough. Okay, this is not to say that if fat loss is a key goal, nor that it's something you want to achieve, but I'm just saying, it is important to know that if you are focusing on fat loss and that's why you want to do intermittent fasting, keep in mind you'll still have to watch calories, whether indirectly through management of your portions or directly through calorie tracking. Calories still dictate. If you eat 3,000 calories on an intermittent fasting regimen or a non-intermittent fasting regimen, the results will be more or less the same. Okay, and if that happens to be a surplus, you'll still gain weight. If it happens to be a deficit for you, you'll still lose weight. Keep that in mind. Very, very important. Okay, so there you go. That's the pros and cons. I will repeat them now just to kind of put in a nice nutshell. So the pros of intermittent fasting is can help reduce mindless snacking when done correctly, can be used to increase fullness level when within a set amount of calories. It's reasonably customizable in its execution. It's easy to implement and understand, so there's a small learning curve. And the cons are it can be used as an excuse to suppress hunger cues on very low-calorie diets. Okay, that's something you have to consider. The other one is that over-restriction is a concern as well. So kind of leading on from that, too much restriction, not enough calories, never a good idea. It's not sustainable for a lot of people. That's a big one. It's not optimized for recovery and nutrition, nor muscle growth. And finally, it usually comes along with a lack of understanding that calories still dictate what happens with your body composition. Okay, so in the end, the fact of the matter is that intermittent fasting is simply a dietary tool or strategy, whatever you want to call it, that has positives and negatives that you need to consider before you adopt it as a lifestyle. And furthermore, okay, fasting is a regimen that has key limitations for athletic individuals. Therefore, it needs to be carefully considered. If you consider yourself an athletic individual, especially a competitive level athlete, you need to consider the ramifications of potentially doing intermittent fasting when it may not even be that great of a diet compared to maybe what else is out there. And it's just something you have to consider. Okay, so now you have a better understanding. You have a deeper understanding of the pros and cons of fasting so you can make better decisions around this and see if it's the right approach for you. And at the end of the day, the best diet is the one that is sustainable for your lifestyle and goals and is sustainable versus temporary fixes and impulsive decisions. Okay, sorry, That came out wrong in my head. It's you're trying to find something that's suitable for you. Okay. You're trying to find something that's suitable for your lifestyle and goals and sustainable for you as well, versus something that's a temporary fix or an impulsive decision. Okay. And there's nothing inherently bad about the correct use of intermittent fasting, but it is overhyped to a degree. It is overhyped. It's overrated to some aspects. I will admit that. Okay. Which places it potentially in the category of fad dieting for many people. That's some food for thought. That's something to consider. Okay, so that's it. That's the episode done. Okay, now if you want help executing the right nutrition strategy, like if you're listening to this, you're like, oh, I want to learn more about intermittent fasting is right for me. Or if you're like, okay, sweet. Well, I want to find out what the best dietary approach is for me. I want to start fueling and leveling up my nutrition game so I can start becoming a better athlete or to start changing my physique or to just become healthier. Well, let's talk, okay? Okay, if you're ready to take your nutrition to the next level and elevate your performance in a way that doesn't want you to punch me, okay, the sports dietitian in the face, let's chat. Okay, in the show notes below, you'll be able to find my details, my email, you'll be able to find a link if you just want to directly apply to my coaching program. You can also just go to my Instagram at the Climbing Dietitian and send me a DM there and we can have a chat. Okay, but I've got a one-on-one nutrition coaching experience that can really help bridge that gap between where you are now and where you want to be as an athlete. Okay, I'll personally coach you. I'll personally coach you using my flexible approach to nutrition and help you harness the power of macros, calories, nutrition strategy so you can actually start regaining your competitive edge. Think of it as a bespoke nutrition, a sports nutrition solution that empowers you to eat better, to achieve better. So if that's of interest to you, reach out. You got my email, you got my Instagram, you've got the application form, you've got everything you need there in the show notes below. So reach out if you're interested and we'll chat from there. But otherwise, I really hope this episode's helped you. I really hope you've enjoyed it and I hope you've left this episode more informed. And until next time, see you later. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast so you can stay up to date whenever I drop an episode. And of course, if you enjoyed today's podcast, remember to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. You can also find me on socials where I regularly post valuable sports nutrition content to help you elevate your sports game, elevate your nutrition game, and reach your peak potential. Simply search for The Climbing Dietitian and be sure to click follow. Until next time, stay safe and stay dedicated. See ya.